Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. It is Monday afternoon. I'm Paul John Dykes and I'm delighted to be joined by Jerry Taylor. This is what we do, 12:30, Monday to Friday, Jerry. We cover all the games. We're here and we're always here, and that's what Axiom's all about. Welcome back. I've seen that you made an announcement on the socials. Congratulations to you and Megan. Hopefully everything's going to plan, mate.
Aye, it's been a bit of a crazy couple of weeks. I've missed you. Sorry I couldn't have been on last week. So we found out on Mother's Day. It was half-time of the game, Mother's Day, and Megan's walked in while I'm making a cup of coffee and sat the pregnancy test down. And we found out we were going to be parents, and we're over the moon. So I'm honestly, we're over the shock and now over the moon, mate. So
Phenomenal.
Another Celtic fan coming into the world soon.
This is it. Yes, and we continue as into the next generation, as we always do. Now, I've just driven back from Celtic Park. That is my destination every Monday morning. I meet up there at 8:30 with the team. Big shout out to David Briggs and also to Sean Gill, who make it possible on a Monday morning to do the wee wander around Paradise. And often I do it on my own, Jerry, but now and again I will have a compadre to walk around me. And this morning, I don't know if he's in the comments section, but it was our very own Ewan Martin. Ewan Martin came for the wee donder. There he is. There he is. I'm going to bring him up because he was on the donder with me this morning. Hatate could be the difference between a double or nothing. I am feeling much more optimistic now than I did a month ago. I've been watching the mood of Ewan and various others in the comments section, Jerry, and it has been up and down all season, understandably. Have you been a bit like that? And where are you at the moment where we go into the last round of fixtures?
I'm gonna be smug here, right? Because I don't often call things on this show. But I have been saying for months and months that this is going to be up and down all season. It's going to come right down to the wire. So none of it surprised me, really. And I keep saying I'm here for it all. Like Jim said, it's a title race. Embrace it. It'd have been nicer if we were a lot further ahead. And it wasn't so up and down because it's no good for anyone's mental health. And me and Asim have had to come on every Monday to get the backlash of it, getting all positive and then negative. It has been up and down. Our moods have been up and down. Like, the results have been up and down. Like, players' performances have been up and down. Because you think about how many midfielders we've thought, right, or wingers, they've had a great game, this is it, they're going to be first start, and then they don't live up to it, and then we try someone else. And that's what this season's all going to be about. I'm still confident we're going to win it. I've never doubted that. But it's going to be a case of we have thrown together this squad. We have thrown together tactics at times because of the injuries, because of form. It's going to be one of those seasons. It's, if anyone thinks now that we're going to hit form and it's we're going to smash everyone, they're going to lose all their games and we're going to absolutely destroy the league, that's not going to happen. It's going to be up and down. Yous are going to doubt it. Yous are going to be over the moon. Yous are going to be ecstatic, and then you're going to be crying again, and then it'll come down to the last day. And I truly believe this will come down to the last day of the season. Do you know what I'd love to see, though, mate? I've been saying about it on Twitter. I hate the goal difference thing, and I'm not just saying this because this is probably the first year that it could be really important. But I'd love it. If teams draw and it's the same points at the end of the season, play a final. Play a final, a one-off game with them. Never mind goal difference anymore. That's what I'd like to see. More money in the coffers for the ones that want it in another cup final for us.
The thing is with the goal difference, obviously we've been involved in it. We've been involved in it over the ages. The famous Love Street finale, whereby we knew obviously what we had to do in the last day to win the league by goal difference. And then twice under Martin O'Neill, where we were on the other end of that, whereby we have gone to Firth Park and Rugby Park, knowing exactly what had to be done and not getting the job done, really. And it was horrendous losing the league on the last day to goal difference, Jerry, absolutely. I can see, you know, I think you're right. I can see it going right down to the wire. And Ewan and I were talking about that. There he is, the big fella. And can I just say, when you set up something like a Celtic State of Mind, I've got to share this with you. When I did this at the kitchen table, Jerry, in 2017, with my pal Kev Graham, you did not understand or realise that, you know, 7 years later, you would have a community of people who you ended up getting to know and meeting up with and sharing live events and sharing games and sharing experiences with. And that's exactly what's happened this morning. So I've gone up to Celtic Park. The big fella, Ewan, has travelled over in the morning from Dunoon, got the ferry over, Jerry, driven up to Celtic Park to do the wonder. And that's why I'm giving them the big shout out. The commitment is unbelievable. On the ferry home now after a nice wee walk around paradise this morning. Absolutely tremendous. And we were there to talk about Celtic, about this season, but we also had a wee look back to the centenary season. I don't think in my Celtic supporting life, no matter what happens, that I will ever have such a magical season or experience as the centenary year. And I put it down to the fact that it was the first season I started going to the games. That was the first season where I was taken, 1987, to Tommy Burns' testimonial, which was in the pre-season leading into the centenary year. It was magical that season. And we speak about that today. You'll be able to tune in at 6 o'clock tonight. And we'll also explain what is happening between Dunoon and Axom on May the 17th. We'll be talking about that tonight, Jerry.
That's madness. That you, so, did you say 87? 1987?
Yeah.
That's what you were doing. I didn't even know how to wipe my own bum at that time. I think I was four. Still don't really, but...
Just thank you for reminding me of my advancing years there, Jerry. Joe Hamilton, afternoon troops. Looking forward to watching you and boy wander around paradise.
Hello, Joe.
Hail, hail. You'll never walk alone. It's great to see you. It's great to see the familiar faces, and if you're not familiar, it's great to see you as well. As of tomorrow, we'll be back on Facebook Live, we'll be on Instagram Live, as well as LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, and X. So we're going out to six different platforms as of tomorrow. Instagram Live.
How long have you been doing Instagram Live?
I have no idea how to use it, hence the reason it's tomorrow and not today. I tried to set it up today. And I ran out of time. So it is going to happen tomorrow. We do have an Instagram page. It's This Is Axom. If that's your thing, get involved. And obviously, we are working on the blog at the moment as well. All new blog. Get it checked out. And yeah, Axom moving up as much as we possibly can. Jungle Lion, afternoon to you from Dublin. And Ian Roy, afternoon to yourself. Where are you dialing in from, Ian? I get the feeling you're abroad somewhere. Let us know where you're tuning in from. And half man, half pie. If or when...
I love that.
I don't know why, but I love it as well. If or when Hatate is back, do you play 4-4-2 or stick with three in the middle? Let's start off with Rio Hatate. Now, I remember going into the January transfer window, Jerry, and we were all thinking, right, we just get over that little hurdle, get into the January transfer window, and then we can get some of the millions out of the bank, into the vault, out of the vault, and we can get some of that money onto the park And then the last part of this season will be, you know, we can blitz it. Didn't happen. We're now looking at certain things like get Carter Vickers back, get Hitati back, get Callum McGregor back. Carter Vickers has come in and we've seen how important he is. Are we building this up too much? Because Rio Hitati, when he has played this season, Jerry, hasn't been peak Rio. He's not been the sublime playmaking, match-winning force that we experience time and time again under Ange Postecoglou. But in fairness to him, he's been injured. It's been an on-off, stop-start season. I think he's key. He comes into this side, everything changes.
I think it's massive. I don't think it's been overplayed at all. You hear the term like a new signing, and I'm one that's always slagging that phrase off, but it is because he has been out for so long. Even when we have had him back, it's not been for a long period of time. He was starting to find a little bit of form, because I think we kept using the term purple patch. He's finding his purple patch. And then to lose him, he's huge. To lose him is bad enough, but for McGregor being out at the same time as well, to have them both back, it's going to be a huge impact. Massive. Not just because of how Hitati plays and the way McGregor plays, but the influence. I don't know how much an influencer on the pitch Hitati is, but just with his play alone, his vision, he's going to be huge. We've been missing that killer pass that we all know Hitati's absolutely brilliant at in so many times. Hitati and even Kyogo, I think, has missed him around with that. The movement of Kyogo, and that's what I was going to say earlier on. If we have a wee boy, I'm going to call him Daizen Maeda Hitati Kyogo Taylor, because can you imagine, he's got all the attributes of the speed of Daizen, the killer pass of Hitati, and the movement and finishing of Kyogo. Dream. Celtic probably still wouldn't let him through the youth ranks right enough. But anyway.
We'll get to that. That is on the list of talking points, Jerry.
Good stuff. But Hitati, for me, is massive. He's a special player. I think there was a load of disruption at the start of the season, not just with Hitati and the manager and the style of play, whatever was going wrong. Nobody was clicking. Nobody was on form. So I'm not going to look at the start of the season for Hitati. I'm going to look at the past two seasons that he has played with, and he's been a key player. I think I always said he would be our most expensive transfer if he goes out. And I still believe another good season under him, that could be the case. I don't know. Matt O'Reilly maybe taking that away from him now. But to have him back and McGregor back, for me, is massive, along with CCV at the back. And like you said, look at the difference CCV made when he came back.
Incredible.
It's the best time for them to happen. We're building a bit of momentum. And I'm excited, mate. I'm excited, but I don't want to get ahead of myself, because what if they get injured again?
Well, this is the worry. This is the worry. And I don't know why we've had so many injuries. I think that when you look at a club the size of Celtic, we are a huge football club. And you take it for granted, Jerry, that all that kind of thing, from recruitment to youth development to sports science, data analysis, conditioning, you just think, well, we'll have all that nailed. That's the kind of thing you take for granted. We're going to have the absolute peak performers in all of these different departments, so that if you do get injured, it's just, you know, bad luck. But I tell you something, when you look at it this season, the record we've had with injuries this season has been frighteningly bad.
Sorry, mate. Do you know what I'm putting it down to as well? It's like the lack of activity in the transfer window puts the pressure on the manager to maybe bring players back from injury when they aren't quite ready. And that's why it's been so stop-start. So we need to make sure that we've got our house in order when it comes to incomings, because it just snowballs down and at the squad. And
it's a knock-on, Jerry. I mean, I think some of the examples that you could probably take from that is Matt O'Reilly. So Matt O'Reilly, at the end of the season, it's a wee bit like Rio last season. If Rio hadn't got the injury near the tail end of the season, he was far and away the player of the year. He was outstanding. And it's a shame, actually, that you forget a wee bit of that, because he obviously gets injured near the end. When you look at this campaign in its entirety, we're not quite at the end yet. Matt O'Reilly has been our star performer. I mean, let me know in the comment section if you disagree and why. Matt O'Reilly has been the star performer, and I've heard a lot of chat around these performances dipping, and people obviously put two and two together and say, you know what, there was a bid in January, his head's been turned, etc., etc. That's what we do. We're fans, we speculate, and I think you're entitled to speculate. But I've kept saying that I actually think it's more to do with fatigue, the fatigue of always being available, the fatigue of always playing Jerry. When he's fit, he plays. And I'm saying it was it's one of these things I think it's worked against him. He's always been fit. So he's always played every minute of every single game. And I think there's a mental fatigue as well as a physical fatigue that catches up with you. And I think the other player that probably was suffering a bit from that until his injury was Liam Scales. And I think these two guys, whenever they're available, they have played under Brendan Rodgers. And I'm going to go back to the point you made. The reason for that is because whoever's behind them in the queue, Brendan Rodgers hasn't felt confident enough to put them in, Jerry, and rest them. So Matt Riley's not had a rest. Liam Scales is only having a rest because he's on the injury table now. He's on a treatment table. So that does, actually, if you want to look at the root of that problem, a big part of it is the fact that we didn't have the recruitment right. So we didn't have the guy that you could, you know, confidently replace O'Reilly with for a few games. And likewise, we brought in centre-halves that we didn't have the confidence in to replace Scales, because Lagerbielk's been fit through that whole period, Jerry, and we've not dropped Scales to the bench for three or four games to give him a rest.
This is strange. The Lagerbielk, for me, it's like, is he slagged off Brendan's Gucci belt or something? Because he is just not being given that chance. Especially when they moved Iwata to the back, and I thought, oh, this is... Who knows? Who knows what's happening? But, like we're saying, we need to invest better in summer. Going back to what you were saying when it was in January, mate, like, I was generally believed that we were going to make some big signings.
Yeah.
I was devastated, but...
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We've got to rally together, and luckily we do have these players coming back. I think Scales needed the rest. There was a lot of pressure on him as well, just like you say, the mental fatigue to go from pretty much being a sixth choice to first choice all season and thrown into the Champions League. A lot of responsibility on the boy, so I wonder if we'll see him coming back soon. How long was he injured for?
Well, I don't have an update on that, Jerry. And I know that I was checking the internet. Obviously, he pulled out of the two international games for Ireland. He was working his way into becoming a regular in the Ireland team as well. So in terms of his timing, it's bad for him. But I think with regards to looking at that Celtic defence, I want to look at the central defensive area. And I'm going to ask the question in the comments section. Let us know, alongside Carter Vickers, when everybody's fit, who's his partner? Who is his partner? Is it Liam Scales, the guy who's come back from the dead, Tony Ralston style, the resurrection man, all these different things? And he has basically carved out a Celtic career this season that many of us didn't think he had in him, Jerry. We thought he was on his way out. We thought he was going to end up at Aberdeen. The basket case that is the Pittodrie side, who have three and four managers a season. We thought he was going to end up there. But no, he was thrown into the Celtic central defensive position. It was an emergency. And let's not forget the performances he put in. A man-of-the-match performance in the Champions League, Jerry. He breaks into the Ireland squad. He's now a regular in there. I think it's easy to say, he's not good enough. We need better. I think it's easy to do that. You've got Stephen Welsh who's come in. And I think Stephen Welsh, when you look at his performances, he looks a lot better with Cameron Carter-Vickers. It's the old Van Dijk effect. I'm not quite saying anybody could look better, but you put a player like Stephen Welsh alongside Carter-Vickers, he looks better than he did when he was playing alongside Liam Scales. And then you've got the two signings that came in the summer, Jerry. You've got Navroski, who it's been injury that's kept him out for the best part of the season, and Lagerbielk, for reasons only known to those behind the scenes, isn't fancied by the gaffer. So we do have options, Jerry, and I'm going to throw it out there. Which of those options do you go for? Who plays alongside Cameron Carter-Vickers when everybody is back and fit? And by the way, I'm going to give a shout out to a good friend of a Celtic state of mind, Paddy Lavery. And we're going to give a shout out to your son, Oren, who has turned 25. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
A phenomenal birthday. And for anybody that comes into the comments and says, Jungle Lion, Paddy Lavery are your favourites, come on, he's asked for a birthday shout-out, and that's what we do on Axom, right?
Paddy, can I just say, you give me a lot of stick on here, Paddy, but what I will say, see, when it comes to Megan being pregnant this time, it was my fault.
It was Jerry's fault. Blame Jerry. JT, let's bring you in. You're watching on YouTube. As I say, as of tomorrow, you can start watching on Facebook Live, Instagram Live. I'll figure out. There's something to do with a live stream code that you get. I ran out of time today. I'll have it set up tomorrow. JT, do you send merch to Germany? This is a shameless plug. Yes, we do. We send it out worldwide. Then anybody who's been watching our progress, basically, what happened was, once we started doing the live streams, people were asking for merchandise. I got an opportunity to get some merchandise in. And it's grown to the point where we now have an online shop. And Jerry, I couldn't manage it. I don't have the space for the merchandise. If I was doing it, you'd probably get your jersey 3 months late. So what we did is we spoke to our friends down in Sunderland. They look after everything. They post worldwide. Everything's good. It's running like a sweetie. So check it out. Check out the merch.
The merch is great. Still waiting for my cup, though, Gaffer.
Which one?
Anyone, all of them.
Because we do have somebody coming in here, Joseph McGonigal, talking to mugs. Some of them are retro. And Joseph had the top in the thumbnail picture of today's bulletin. Big Umbro diamond on the back. I remember it well. It's green, it's yellow. It's an absolute classic. Check it out. Paul Montgomery, you are tuning in from Luxembourg. It still blows my mind.
That's crazy, isn't it?
People from all over the world tuning in to listen to an hour's Celtic chat. Johnny Ryan, too much expected from Hatate. He will need games we don't have. It's a brilliant point, Jerry, right? So Rio Hatate, for me, is the guy with the highest ceiling in the squad. He's not had a great season due to injury and being out of favour. And I think Johnny's right. When he comes in, I'm expecting him to come in peak Hatate, the guy with a pass against Real Madrid, the guy scoring goals against Rangers, the guy that can pick out a pass nobody else on the park can pick out. That's the peak Hatate that we know and love. There's another side to Rio Hatate, and he's not been great in some games this season. Do you agree with Johnny? It's going to take him a wee while to get up to speed. Is that only natural?
I would say that normally, right? See, if it was halfway through the season or something, I would agree with Johnny there. I'm kind of hoping that he was fit a few more weeks before it's been let on, and they've just been training him, getting him ready for this, because I think his adrenaline, knowing that there's only 8 games left, it's a bit different. He's got to come on and he's got to hit that form. There's no room in the squad now for someone that isn't going to be on form. Every single game's going to be a tough, tough game. So I'm hoping he hits the ground running. I know it's a lot to ask. That's the thing, that there's a lot expected of him, yes, but he plays for Celtic. There's a lot expected of every single player when they put that shirt on. So he's got to come on and hit form. I'm sorry if that's entitled or too high expectations, but that's what you expect from a Celtic player. We're not expecting them to go in and run 90 minutes world class. Come on and give us your all, and if we have to come off after 60 minutes, but we need peak Hatate just now. We really do. I'll get back to your defender stuff, the central defence, because I've got a few to say on all the players.
Yeah, I will definitely get onto that. John Mullane wants some Jerry Taylor merch. I'm here for it all. John, please. Watch your space, because I believe that every contributor has got some kind of buzzword that they go to constantly, right? Yeah. And
Kevin Graham,
that could well be yours. Kevin Graham's is definitely Hingwee. When he's struggling to think of what, he just replaces it with Hingwee, right? We've got John Hughes with testicular fortitude, and it goes on, right? Everybody's got their own wee quirks. Tell me what mine's are. Tell me what mine is, John. I would like to hear that. So there's Jerry's right there.
Yes, Roll.
Here's an interesting one. DB New Hatate has still to show that he wants to play for Rodgers. It's an interesting choice of words, because that's the kind of thing we say as football fans, Jerry. We say things like that, don't we? He doesn't want to play for him. David Turnbull didn't look as though he wanted to play for Rodgers. You know, he scores a goal and he's giving it all that. Is that to us? Is that to the management? Who knows? And we start reading into it, making up our own minds. As I say, it's been a difficult one, actually. And we would need to speculate if that was your thoughts on the matter. Rio Tati, he's signed a deal with Celtic. I think it's been a really frustrating season for him. he's not one of these guys that's 21 or 22. I don't think he can ever afford to lose a season, but he's at that age where you're coming up to the 26, 27, where you could be hitting your peak, and he's lost the best part of a season. And it's a season where if you turn it on, you're going to get interest from the proper big elite clubs. Not that I want to sell any of our top players. I'd rather keep them all. But Martorelli has, for me, leapfrogged Rio Hatate this season as a Celtic player. Rio Hatate doesn't look like he wants to play for Rodgers. Gerry Taylor, what's your thoughts on that?
I don't think he's going to sign for 5 years if he doesn't want to play for that manager. It's a long time. If he's just trying to buy time in the squad before he gets sold, he's going to sign 2 or 3 years, I reckon. I think he just got to look at when he came off against... Now, it was Atletico Madrid, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. He came off injured. Now, the emotion in that stadium, not just because Hatate was coming off, but the way that him and Brendan Rodgers were after it. If you'd seen... I think Hatate's got a lot of respect for Brendan Rodgers. He beats himself up. There's times under Andrew as well, if he's had a bad first couple of touches, his head isn't in the game. We've seen that. It's not just under Brendan Rodgers. It's a Hatate thing. He puts so much pressure on himself. So he's going to have the fire in his belly coming back, mate, isn't he? He's had to watch it. I think if you're sat in the sidelines injured and your team's absolutely dominating every match, putting the points on the board every game, it could maybe affect you and your confidence, but to sit on the bench and watch that, thinking every game, if I'm on there, I could change this. If I'm on there, and I'm hoping that's his mentality, and it's just been coiling him up. So when he gets released, he's going to have all this energy, all this hurt and pain to get out on that pitch. And I truly believe that's the kind of guy that he is. I hope so, anyway.
I hope so. And again, we read so much into the body language aspect and, you know, the players not wanting to play for a certain manager. And really, we don't know if that's the case, Gerry. That's the blunt answer. We actually don't know if that's the case. And you can look completely disinterested in something, but actually, you know, you are going through, not the motions, but you're going through everything you possibly can to get a result, and it's just not working for you. Paul McLean, speaking of not living up to it, I wouldn't even have Bernardo on the bench, right? I think the real thing leads us nicely onto the Bernardo question. Gerry O'Raw, Bernardo has definitely got something. He will come good. Right. You talk about Hatate being missing from the midfield, Gerry, right? And what I think happens is it affects the entire team. It affects the defence in that he's an out ball. You give him the ball. You win the ball, give it to Rio, right? He's that type of player because he can then start to thread passes through into the wings and particularly into Kyogo from the midfield area. There's not a telepathy, there's an understanding between Rio and Kyogo that I think we've missed massively. So he gives you the out ball if you are a centre-half, like Welsh, like Scales, you know, who has taken so long to look up, take another touch, pass it back to the other centre-half, and he removes that element because Rio's there saying, give me the ball, right? He gets that and he starts making things happen. He's a playmaker, right? So I think we've missed him in that respect. And I think we've missed him in the offensive sense, whereby he can carve defences open, Gerry. And how often have we seen it this season where we've just not had a creative bone in our offensive bodies against a team that have playing the blocks of defenders? Rio's the type of guy that can cut through that. And I think we've missed that massively. In his place, largely, has been, well, we had a spell of Turnbull being in there. We've had a spell of Odin Holm. And obviously, Awata's been in there as well. Bernardo's played quite a few games. And now the discussion is coming round as to whether or not we should trigger that clause in his contract, which means we can buy him. And we're hearing £6 million, £6.5 million quid for a player like Bernardo. He's got youth on his side. He will have a sell-on, as much as some people like Paul doesn't rate him. He will have a sell-on value as well, because he's coming to Celtic and he's getting Champions League experience, something that he never had before, a bit like Jota, but I don't think that the ceiling's going to be as high as the Jota ceiling. And I find it interesting that every single person that speaks about him talks about that period of time just before the break, Gerry, where he really came into his own. And then we've seen the kind of Bernardo of old, which is a very, I would say, maybe predictable. And he looks kind of ordinary. He does a lot of stuff that you would expect him to do, and you don't see the killer passes and you don't see the goals. And these are the things that he had added to his game. Alan Morrison spoke about the fact he doesn't play the ball forward enough. He's not brave enough, really, in that respect. He likes to play the ball sideways, backwards. And that's a bit of a concern. If he can add that to his game, Jerry, I think he's a £6 million player. If he can play the way he did in that pocket of games that you referred to, that purple patch, if he can play that type of game, that standard, consistently, he's a £6 million player. But I don't think we've seen it consistently, and that's my concern. Where are you with Paolo Bernardo and what we do with him?
I'm right there with you, mate. I wouldn't be comfortable seeing them spend £6 million on him for what we're seeing at the moment. If he starts to those killer passes, like you say, and finishing a little bit better than what he has, then I think it would still be a maybe for me. However, for me, a great player comes into their own and really shows what they can do when the pressure's on, which is these last eight games. If Bernardo starts to really put himself about in these games and come up with some assists, maybe even the odd goal, then yeah, I would say pay the £6 million, because he's seen us through the season. He's seen us through the last part where all the pressure is on. And that's what the great players do. So fingers crossed we do have that £6 million player on our hands. I'd be really surprised if the board spent that money on him just now. But like I say, let's see what happens at the end of the season. They're not, is it true the rumours they've actually made the decision already? Because I've seen some of that. Whether it's true or not, but then again, Brendan sees him every single day in training. Brendan will know who else is coming in, who's going out. He'll be able to see where he fits better than we do. So trust the process.
Well, see that process though, Jerry. What I would say about it, and what I think is a positive in this respect, is we've had him in the building for a year. He knows the demands of a Celtic player, whereas my biggest issue with bringing nine in the summer was that you can bring these nine guys who've all got different attributes, right? You bring them in, but they might not have the state of mind to play for a club like Celtic, a club whereby you're expected to win every single game. You know, Palma, I think, is a classic example. Palma is a gifted footballer. He's shown it in a Celtic jersey. That outside of the boot cross to O's head against Aberdeen was sublime. He scored some brilliant goals. I mean, he's a scorer of great goals, Lewis Palma. But does he have the mentality? Has he played for a team either in Greece or Honduras? Has he played for a team where the demands are so high, Jerry, that doing something for a wee, reel that night on your socials isn't good enough? You know, doing a couple of shimmies, having an assist, scoring a goal, but you go beat 3-1, mate. We're not interested in all that unless we win the game. And I think there's a mentality you need to have if you want to come to Celtic and be a success. All the players that we go through and we say, he's been a flop, he was a waste of money, he was dross, he was rubbish. Largely, they're not, Jerry. They just aren't able to make it at Celtic. Yep. And I've spoken to a lot of guys who have made it at Celtic, and they've said that. I've spoken to people who said, you know, they've worked with guys at training, and they've got all the ability in the world, but they can't do it on the park, and they can't do it consistently. And I think that's a massive issue. We're bringing in a massive clutch of players as we did in the summer. What you've got with Bernardo is you've got him a year in. He knows how the manager works. He knows the demands of playing for Celtic. And after a year, I think that you've developed him in that period. Why develop a player for that period of time and then give him back to Benfica? You know, I just feel that it would be one step forward, two back for me with Bernardo. If he'd come in and he'd shown nothing, then I would say, all right, it's no work to it. Nat Phillips him, empty him, put him back to his parent club. But it's not been like that, and that's why we're having the discussion. It is something of a dilemma. I think the big question would be, do you shell out that kind of money for that player? And I think that's going to be a massive decision when it comes to the summer. Now, we've got Alan McCluskey. Welcome to the show. Alan, you are commenting on the YouTube. Wingers will be key to success, as well as getting Rio, Callum and Carter Vickers available. 100%, we're going to be speaking about the wingers, and I think also Rio's massive in terms of opening things up and getting the ball out to the wingers. Now, I've got a shout out. As we were up at Celtic Park today in the rain, and by the way, it was Baltic this morning, John McGrath is over from Ireland, and he was sitting in that Superstore car park waiting for the Superstore to open. I hasten to add. And so we had a wee chat, and he's a listener, he's a viewer. And a big shout out to his old fella as well, 83 years young and fighting fit. getting back to full fitness. So a big shout out to John and his dad. And then you get the other side of the coin, Jerry. People lurking about at 1 o'clock in the Monday afternoon, whose first name may or may not be Billy, in the comment section, trying to give Celtic it tight. And their favourite subject that they could go into Mastermind with, which I'm not going to mention, get a grip, get a life, go somewhere else, you're blocked. And if there's anybody else who want to come on and talk like that, as Billy Kit Kat, Billy Kit Kat, go and get a four-finger Kit Kat, son, and have a coffee and enjoy something somewhere else.
Was it me that's getting the pelters now?
You're not getting the pelters. It's their usual. It's their subject of choice, Jerry. They're obsessed with it.
Go somewhere said, else. Do you think I look like Hitler? Somebody said that to me on Twitter. Megan thinks I do.
Jerry, come on. I've told you. You're pining for me to tell you who I think you look like. Colin Farrell, CSC. There you go.
Well, when he's in the Penguin.
Call it out. If you see it on the comments, and they will be quickly banned from Axon.
I have to say a shout out as well. Is that all right? To Paul Campbell, who sent me a lovely message. Big fan of Axon over in Tasmania. Tasmania. That's mad. I thought that was a made up place for the cartoon character.
Well, I know. I said that to Jerry today. I've never been to Dunoon. I just thought it was a song lyric of Jerry Cinnamon's. But we will be there in May with Rio and hopefully Calmac. That would be nice. Coming back to the Derby is a sign the stars are aligned to end the season firing on all guns and getting success. That's from Steve. Jerry, I feel like we've been saying this all season. It's going to click. We're going to be firing on all cylinders. However, it looks as though we've slowly played ourselves back into some kind of form. The Hearts game aside, right, and I know you can't airbrush it out, the aftermath of that continues. You know, we might see Brendan Rodgers banned for the Rangers game. We know all this, right? Obviously, Dermot Desmond's got his flamethrower in hand, ready to go.
Who made that?
Right. Here's the thing, Jerry, right? I remember a wee while ago, people talking about where, you know, the whole podcasting game's going. And I think that live streaming became a game changer. And live streaming became a game changer because during the pandemic, people were not able to communicate and they were getting bored and they were doing family quizzes and all that nonsense.
Oh, God.
So, I know, you remember? So back in the day, the live streaming was a game changer, you know, and everybody does it now. And it's a great way of having this type of bulletin out there. But I'm always thinking about what's next for content, what's next. And I watch lots of online content, which have got nothing to do with football. And I look at what they're doing and I try and implement that. So we've got massive plans for 2024 to keep us ahead of the game. The bulletin will always be there, 12:30 live. Never doubt that's always going to be there. But I remember somebody saying to me, what's going to be the biggest change with content creation? And I said to them, and it was a while ago, AI. AI is going to be the next big game changer when it comes to content, because what will happen is it will be so good that you won't know if it's been done, you know, by a human or if it's been done by a bot. And that is where we are now. And I didn't want to get into the conspiracy and all the rest of it. I don't even want to discuss it, but you know, the Kate Middleton thing.
Aye.
That shows you that if there's an element of doubt in your mind that a picture or a video is AI generated, that shows you how good it is at the moment. And we only have access to the very base level, you know, systems, as we always do. Anyway, there's a gentleman who tunes in called Barry McCluskey. Big shout out to Barry. And Barry's got, like, you know, supreme taste in music and art. He's a very creative guy. And I've had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times. He's been at Axon Live events as well. And I think what happened was he was tuning in one day and we spoke about the fact that Desmond had to get his flamethrower out for this SAVA here and really take it to town. And he is using AI-generated software. And, like, within minutes, this thing dropped into my inbox. And I thought, wow, if that was a graphic novel, I'd buy it. I'd read it. I love it. Like, absolutely brilliantly done. Brilliantly done.
Yeah. So anyone that's listening, it's a photo of Dermot Desmond with a flamethrower in his office, and it was absolutely brilliant. Well, don't be replacing me with AI. I don't think AIs get bad patter like me, though, so I don't think you could.
Well, the thing with AI, Jerry, is that we were speaking about it in respect of refereeing and VAR, and then that led us on to the fact that eventually your assistant referee will just be a camera on a dolly, and it will just be zipping up and down the line with the last man, and it'll be filming. That's the kind of thing where it can take us. In terms of journalism, for someone to sit down and write a 300 to 500 pound word article and get paid for it, basically that kind of thing will happen through an AI generator. You might have one editor instead of 12 writers, and the one editor will just be editing it all. That's where that's going. But we took it a stage further, and we spoke about the fact that on a Celtic State of Mind, we have like John Hughes is in Ireland. We've got Brian Degnan down in Swindon. And we then have the Celtic Down Under guys over in Australia and Japan. And we have got Kevin McCluskey in Hungary. And we have Ian Conroy in New Zealand. And eventually... Yeah, aye. They can all sit on their respective couches with their virtual reality headgear and all be sitting together at the football. And this is where things are going. Like globally, you'll be able to buy a global season ticket. You get your VR, you tap in your code, and you're there. You're at Celtic Park, you're sitting next to Jerry Taylor. This is where this conversation is going, bizarrely enough. But as I said, it's not as futuristic as it sounds, because we got approached from a company who were doing something similar with the music industry during the pandemic, whereby they would put on a live gig in a venue with the lighting, with the sound engineers, the whole thing, and they would film it with God knows how many cameras. But you could buy a ticket to the gig and you could sit there in virtual reality and it's multi-camera situation. And that's where that was going. And so if you're a big fan of a band, I was going to say a band, but I'll change that because nobody on the comments are going to like them anymore, I don't think. But if you want to go on a world tour, who could do a world tour these days? A band like the Rolling Stones, right? Or the Who, right? And you're a massive fan. Instead of just going to see them once in Glasgow, you could buy a ticket and see them all over the world. Virtual reality, right? So this is where we're going. And that's what we're talking about with the football.
It's crazy, Matt. It blows my mind a wee bit.
It does blow your mind.
We go on some tangents, don't we?
We do, but it's there. It's right in front of us, and it's going to happen very, very soon.
I hope you do it, because I need Slipknot tickets for Megan, right? So that would be great if I could just put
a headset on. I've seen him in life, by the way. I did.
See if there's anyone out there that could get Slipknot tickets. Oh, we have to name the baby Corey, apparently, after Corey Taylor.
Let us know in the comment section. Right, so before we move on to what's happening in the wings as well, and obviously looking ahead to the games that are coming up, what was your decision, Jerry, when you come to the centre-half position? You've got the Virgil van Dijk effect, the Carter Vickers making everybody look better. But if everybody's fit, who partners them and why?
Right, so... let's start off individually then with Welsh. I think Welsh, we said a lot in pre-season together, mate, that he's a good centre defender. I like him at Celtic, but I think he's got to go off, sign for a club permanently, be a full-time player and learn his craft, get in the games. I don't think he's going to be a number one choice at centre defence ever at Celtic unless there's injuries. So I think it's time for Stephen Welsh to move on next season. I'm not saying I wouldn't want him here. If I found out he was staying and he was going to be a backup, then great. But I think to further his career, he needs to go off, start something new. Naroki, for me, I really like the look of him as a proper central defender. In the air, a good hard tackle. He's got the odd mistake in him, but then again, he's not had the chance to settle. I don't mind seeing Naroki at the back. For me, I'm going to get absolutely battered for this, but I'll get to Scales. I prefer Naroki or Lagerbielk in front of Scales for me. And I'll tell you why. For me, Lagerbielk would be my first choice to partner up with CCV, because everything I've seen of him, apart from the mistake giving the ball away for them to then score, but then to get brought back and give us a free kick, a lot of people have put him under pressure with that. I think if you watch how he is, he's so passionate, his energy is so high when he's on the pitch. He's got a goal in him, he's got a tackle in him, and he does like to drive forward as well. And international experience, I think he ticks a lot more boxes than all the other guys. For me with Liam Scales, I think Liam Scales will be a top central defender for any club out with Celtic. Obviously, I'm not talking your top Premiership clubs, but I think he'll be a great central defender. For me, for Celtic, what he's been great at is the defending side of things, maybe keeping it calm at the back sometimes. But when you compare him to Carter Vickers, he doesn't find that pass that takes the pressure off. If you look at Scales' pass counts, it's higher than anyone else at times on the park. But I think one of the reasons for that is he plays a pass to someone that's not the right pass, so they have to give him it back, so therefore he has to pass it out again, which isn't his fault all the time because he's not getting that movement in front of him. I don't remember seeing him drive into the spaces like I would love seeing big Chris Iyer do, you know, just take that pressure off, get the ball further up. I don't think he's got that in him. I don't think he's that type of central defender. So for me, right now, if he's come back and he's injury-free to see us out the season, I think it would be Scales and CCV. But because he's been injured now, I'd like to see Lagerbielt get that run, have a solid partnership for the last eight games of the season, because I do think he's got a goal in him. I really do. So for me, yeah, that's mine. And I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, especially the Scales stuff, but that's my honest assessment. And I don't usually assess.
I don't think you should get hate, Jerry, because it's an opinion, and not only that, you've backed it up with, you know, how you've arrived at that opinion. I think that back in the day when I kicked the ball for the boys' clubs and all that, there was always an award at the end of the season for most improved player, right?
Aye.
That's Liam Scales. That's Liam Scales,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He is. He's this season's Tony Ralston, right? Whereby what he's done, no one could have seen it. And if anyone says they did, then I'm going to say you're making that up in a Charlie Mulgrew style, right? Because I think that he was thrown in, and I don't honestly think that a manager like Brendan Rodgers does something to make a point to the board. I don't, because if you were doing that, then you're gambling with your own livelihood, right? Because if you were to throw a player in when you've got someone who is an international, a Swedish international behind them, simply because you want to make a point about recruitment, I honestly don't think Brendan Rodgers would do that. I really don't, Jerry. No. I think he's got it in his own head that what we had at the club prior to Navroshke and Lagerbielt coming in, I think what he's got and what he's decided is what we've already got at the clubs as good as, if not better, than what we brought in. Now, I don't agree with that, right? I've not seen enough of Lagerbielt. I know there's concerns about his pace, but I would put anything on the fact that when Carter Vickers came off against St Johnstone and we brought him home and then we swapped Iwata back, the better move would have been to bring somebody in who's good in the air, i.e. Lagerbielt. What happens after that is we lose a goal, we go back to the initial concern that you raised about goal difference. That's a goal we didn't have to lose. We were coasting it and we lost that daft goal, right? And I think that Lagerbielt, his bread and butter's winning a ball in the box. You know, there's no guarantee we'd have done, Jerry, but I think you'd have been better. You'd have been in better shape for that cross ball being cut out if Lagerbielt was on the park. On the note of Narowski, I hate to say it, but I just think that the injuries that have plagued him this season are not a good sign. You know, for someone so young, and we look back on a player like Jozo Simunovic, and I've used his name a few times. I thought when I first saw Narowski, there was a few elements he's played that were similar to Big Jozo, and I loved Big Jozo, but the one big similarity is he's always injured. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm looking at that and I think to myself, you know, Simunovic came in, we spent decent money on him, and then there was a proposed move to Torino. I don't know if you remember this. 6 months.
I do remember this. Big money as well.
And he failed the medical, you know. So we were willing to let him go for about 6 million. Failed the medical. He ends up, you know, continuing in that vein for Celtic, and we lose him for nought. So when he leaves Celtic, we don't get a penny for him. He's now basically retired, and he's only, you know, he retired in his mid-20s, and the guy that played alongside him, Benkovic, was very similar in terms of the injuries. And I just have this horrible feeling that Navroski's in that category, Jerry. And if that's the case, going into the summer, we still need a centre-half. We still need that guy to partner Carter Vickers, who's on the same level as Carter Vickers in terms of standard, or can be, you know, with a bit of progression, he can be. I'm not seeing anybody from the names we've mentioned can get to that level. So we're actually £7.5 million down with two centre-halves, and we still need a centre-half in the summer.
And I hate to be the guy that says it, but we've also got to try and keep a hold of Carter Vickers as well. Because
see, the only thing about that, him and Rio, the only thing that I think becomes a saving grace, like a silver lining, is the fact they've been injured all season. Might put people off coming in and making the bids in the summer. I hope it does. I really do.
No, and they've been faking it the whole time.
Yeah, Mark Fairfield, Sonny Ayrshire.
Mark Fairfield, I know it's minging here. That's where I am. Oh, it's minging, mate. It's that sideways rain that's coming in.
This isn't a weather broadcast, by the way. I'd just like to know where everybody's tuning in from. Stuart Ramsey is in the West Midlands, and unfortunately that's Dreek as well. Jim Conlon, don't think Bernardo gave the ball away against St Johnstone. It never stops working. We talk about it tonight on the Wandering Paradise, Ewan and I, about his work rate, his work off the ball, the fact that he very much is that type of player, Jim, that doesn't give the ball away. But I think he does a lot of the water carrying. It does a lot of the work that is under the radar because it isn't a cutting, splitting pass through the defence. It's not a goal. And by the way, he's had a few decent chances in the last few weeks where he should have scored and he didn't. Now, Chalky, you're commenting on X, and as of tomorrow, you'll be able to comment on Facebook and Instagram as well. Wide players starting to come good and make a difference. We're going to be talking about them next. So we move into the wide areas, and obviously, at one point there, we had so many wingers, it was just embarrassing, Jerry. To the point where we've loaned a couple of them out and we've sold one of them. So Abada's away. Mikey Johnson's tearing it up at West Brom, which is good to see. And Tilio's away back to Australia. So what we're left with now is Maeda, who I think is an automatic choice between now and the end of the season. And then, really, it's a flip of a coin at the moment in terms of form as to who you pick between Kuhn and Yang. I think that Rodgers will favour Kuhn because I believe that he had more of a say in the signing of that player. And then also you've got Palmer. Let's not forget, Palmer's done very well this season, but he's found himself on the periphery of the starting 11. And let's not forget Rocco Vatter. So it takes us into that discussion as well. So in terms of the wingers, where are we with the wingers in your view, Jerry? When we get back to action against Livingston, who starts?
Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? This is really tough because Yang was starting to find form. He was really starting to show some glimpses of the player that we hoped he was going to be. Kuhn, you can't fault, especially his last performance there. Depending on fitness, I think Rodgers is quite good at playing with the team that he started with if they've got the result that he was after. So I don't think we'll see much of a change there. But the good thing is, if Yang can find the form, because he wasn't even injured, actually. He was suspended, wasn't he? So, he could get thrown straight back in. It's a good conundrum to have, considering a couple of months ago, we're like, is any of the wingers good enough? And they were like, right, okay, I'd take either of the two. I think with Maeda's a shoe-in, especially with his new hairdo, he's went from Bond villain to some kind of K-pop superstar. It's just, even though he's Japanese, that's another Euros comment.
He does suit it. He does suit it.
He's reasoning for it as well.
I know.
He's reasoning for it so his kids can find him because they said that when his hair was just darker when he grew it and his kids, there were some when his kids struggled to see him, so he's dyed it blonde. So I think it's just so his teammates can keep up with him with the speed of him. There he is. So with me, with the wingers, I think Palmer, see the thing with Palmer, mate? I know I'm going off on a tangent here. With Palmer, he looks like he does want to learn. He doesn't have an arrogance about him. I think it's this childlike excitement that he's at a bigger club now. And if you notice, when everyone was complaining about him smiling when he missed opportunities, I had a rant about it on here. The very next week, he made a mistake and you saw him just, he was raging with himself. There was no smile. So I think if he does, this won't be the season for him to set everything alight. We've had glimpses. Next season, I'm hoping that he learns from this season. He knows the pressure that he should be feeling playing for a club like Celtic, and I think he will come good. But for me, I'd like to see Maeda and Yang see out the rest of the season. We can work them both together. So, a long answer for that, but aye.
I'll be bringing in some of the thoughts about the wingers here. So here we go. I love the fact, Jerry, right, that, and I always felt during the half times of the early 90s, here we go, Celtic Da moment, there's a klaxon. Celtic fans, and I've seen it, I experienced it on the supporters buses through from Fife and in the games. We had a self-deprecating humour where we knew we were rotten and we didn't mind saying it ourselves before anybody else said it. And there was a real humour. And that's, you know, when you're going through the years of no winning anything, it never stopped me wanting to go to the games, Jerry. Mm. You weren't a fair-weather supporter. This morning I was asked about, oh, you're a Fifer. Yeah, but what happened to a lot of people, a lot of Celtic fans who are in Fife, not everybody. My dad was a pit man. He was a striking miner during the 84-85 miner strike. But if you go a couple of generations down the line, a lot of the pitmen came from the West. They came from Hamilton, in my case, having travelled over from Ireland. So a few generations down the line, that's where your Irish Celtic kind of traditions came through your family, Jerry. So a lot of people are thinking, Fife, why do you support Celtic? That's where it is. It's your family lineage. And there's also quite a few kind of Glaswegian-tinged accents in some of the Fife villages. And that's the reason why, Jerry, because their dads or their grandfathers obviously came from those areas. And I was saying earlier on, there was a guy called Billy Kitcat in the comment section. Don't want to take too much time talking about him because he's obviously an imbecile, and that's doing a disservice to anyone who's an imbecile. But this shows you the humour of our fellow Axomers. First of all, David came in, told me to block him. Thank you very much. Les Watts,
what was he called? What?
Billy Kitcat. So Les Watts says, give him a two-fingered message. Absolutely. And Paul McFarlane tells us that Billy Kitcat needs to have a break. I love it.
I bet where he's from, even the Kit Kats have got six fingers, so I wouldn't even worry about
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, Paul, this is like throwing a grenade into the comments section. Paul Andrew Martin, thanks for getting involved. Mikey, talk about Mikey Johnson. Showing himself as a better player than Palmer.
But the whole football team. The whole of the Palmer football team.
Well, possibly. I'd have him back on the left wing. Right. Jerry, I'm going to throw this to you. My take on it, and I've said it all along, I think Mikey Johnson, a very talented footballer. Brendan Rodgers probably overplayed it a wee bit by saying he was the best graduate from the academy that we've ever had, right? Mm-hmm. So you're including James Forrest, Callum McGregor, Kieran Tierney, Aidan McGeady, Sean Maloney. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that comment. I'm not seeing him at training, but I am seeing him on the park. I think the move to West Brom is a player finding the right fit, Jerry. And the right fit could be the culture, it could be the pressure, it could be the style of play, it could be the coach, it could be the stadium, the fan base, whatever it is. He's found the right fit. And I think, you know what? Fair play to you, mate. And if we get £3 million for him in the summer, you make it permanent, you move him on. And why not £3 million? He's an international footballer and he's playing in the Championship. And we keep hearing about how great a level the Championship is, Jerry. And by the way, they're all spending decent money. Sell him. Good luck. On you go. I certainly wouldn't be bringing him back. That's my take on it. What's yours, Jerry?
I'm with you on that one. And this, Paul Andrew Martin, this isn't aimed at you. You're the one
not at all.
So what I do want to say is some of the folk on Twitter talking about him, it's unhinged, actually, right? Everyone was saying that Mikey Johnson wasn't cutting it. He wasn't handling the pressure for whatever reason. He was given chances. How many pre-seasons did you talk about him, Paul John? It was unreal. He had to go seven. For his benefit, right, he's found the right place. Now, see some of yous online that are going, oh, he's brilliant, bring him back. The same people that were slagging him off, it's like having, like you've dumped your girlfriend, right? You didn't want to be with her, but you don't want to see her with someone else either. That's unhinged behaviour. We wanted to see the boy do well, and he is. Some folk have got the mindset when a player leaves us, they like them to do crap to justify why we get rid of them. That's not the Celtic way. They didn't quite work out. Good on the boy. I hope he makes millions. I hope he gets signed by a massive club after this, right? But I don't want him to come back to Celtic because it's time for a fresh start for everyone. Get over it, honestly. That guy's caught.
No, not at all. There's two schools of thought, and Paul has given us the other side of it, Jerry. Absolutely. What I would say to you, right, remember Timu Pukki, right? Remember Pukki? And the game I always remember him was when we played a few European qualifiers at Murrayfield, and quite a few things came from that. The first one was how bad our national stadium is at Hampden. And how easy it was to get up to the games at Murrayfield. It was so easy, just dump on a tram in the middle of Edinburgh and away you go. But I do remember one of the games, can't remember the opponents off the top of my head, but we scored four that night and it was a beautiful sunny night. We wore our away kit at home, playing away, if you know what I mean. playing at Murrayfield, wearing the yellow and green away kit. Virgil van Dijk scored two, Timo Pukki scored two. And I remember thinking to myself at that moment, because he was signed obviously under Neil Lennon, but Ronnie Dyla was the manager by this point. And I thought, maybe the change in manager will work for this guy. You know, because you'd seen him, he'd scored goals at the top level, international, but it never quite worked out for him at Celtic. He went away and he became really, really prolific. And he, you know, Norwich City, he looked like a different footballer at Norwich. And I ask you, and anybody else who reckons Mikey Johnson should come back, would you have taken Pukki back? Because I wouldn't have. And I don't care if he scored 25, 30 goals a season for Norwich. I wouldn't have taken him back, Jerry. Because going back to what I said about Mikey, it didn't work. It didn't click at Celtic. What made you think it would work just because he's had a spell away? I think this is a bridge towards him getting a move away. And that would be the best for everybody involved. It leads me on, though, to one of my last subjects, and that's Rocco Vatter. And people tell me to shut up about Rocco Vatter. They think I've got a direct link to Rudy and all this kind of stuff. No, I just want to make a point, right? The Republic of Ireland have called him up to the under-21s. He's 18, right? So obviously he could play under-18 football, under-19 football. He's played in the UEFA Youth League this season, which is an under-19 tournament. Yet the under-21s have called him up. He's played two games for the under-21s, Jerry, totalling 158 minutes, and he scored five goals. Now, detractors might say it was only San Marino. And you're right, it was only San Marino. But wherever he's gone in terms of his international career or his club career, this is what he's done, right? So for the B team, okay, the detractors will say 50 of Scottish football, I get that. But this is an 18-year-old boy who scored 13 goals and 16 appearances for the B team. He's been called up to the Celtic first team by Brendan, having played four games as a sub for Ange Postecoglou last season. And he scored one goal in two appearances. I think he's played 26 minutes. He scored one goal in two appearances. Detractors will say, aye, but it was only Bucky Thistle. My point is this. Every time he's stepped up, he's done the business. He's done the business, be that at international level, Jerry, or for Celtic. And the one occasion, and I'm going to use this as an example, where I think we have just reverted to type when it comes to youth players, Dundee. We're beating them 6-0. 6-0, Jerry. And we're sitting at half-time and we're saying, we're going to score 10 today. This is free-flowing football. This is brilliant. Where's this performance been? Callum McGregor got injured and he's been missing ever since. Daniel Kelly comes in, scores a goal. Brilliant. Rocco Vatter's on the bench. Unused substitute. So if we're not going to... And we're now in a situation, Jerry, where AC Milan are reportedly interested in the kid. Bologna are interested. Sampdoria. These teams are sniffing about. There's a few English clubs, I believe, as well, sniffing about this talent. If he was to leave, because we know his contract's up at the end of the season, we get the compensation. What's it, $300,000 or $400,000? That's what we get as a football club. And you're talking about a player going away. You get Dembele. That's what's happening, right? Apparently he's getting a move up to the Premiership. But I'm frustrated because I don't think we're going to use him between now and the end of the season, because we found ourselves in a proper title fight. And if you throw in Vatter, if you imagine us throwing Vatter and not winning the game, he's the guy that gets the flack. Rodgers will then think, oh, I was right not to pick him. And it would go back to the point. He should have had more games at this point of the season. When you look at the poor performances of our wings, right, at some point in this season, Vatter would have been a better opportunity, I think, than some of the guys we've seen on the wings, Jerry. It's a frustration of mine. I don't want to lose him as a Celtic fan, but I fear that we will.
Let me put it to you then. You're Rocco Vatter. Rocco Vatter, right? Do you stay? You've got Ben Doak on the phone. Mate, this is great. This is glorious. Come see what I've got. Look, it's amazing. The money, this and that. You're not getting the opportunities you want when there's been opportunities. I wouldn't want to stay. But I want him to stay. But if I'm him, there's nothing keeping me here. If he doesn't get played in the last eight games, his contract's up. Give me a reason for him to stay.
I'll tell you, it's a pathway. It's an issue with the pathway. If you're sitting on the bench and your team's winning 6-0, where's my minutes? That's my, and I don't think that's a bad attitude. I think that's an attitude of a player who wants to make that step up. And I don't want to see him going. If he does go, I'll be hugely disappointed, because we always go on about generational talents. We always go on about guys that should have made it at Celtic and they didn't get the games. And I just feel he's moving into that category.
Look at when it's always like, oh, like you're saying, people are saying, oh, but it was only at that level. It was only at this level. Can he do it at this level? And I don't want to like bringing up other teams' players, but if you look at Lauren Shankland, everyone was saying that about him at Ayr United. And he was free scoring. Then he went, was it Partick Thistle? Free scoring. Now he's at Hearts, free scoring. No matter where they go, if they've got it, they've got it. And I do believe that is the same with Rocco Vatter.
When you come up against Livingston, for example, we're talking about wingers. My take on the wingers is that you play Maeda plus whoever's on form on the right. That's how I would play it, right? You play Maeda every week and whoever's on form. Yang lost his jersey through suspension. Coons came in. He's on form. He's your first pick. If he loses his form, it goes back to Yang. When does Vatter get the chance? And I think that against Livy, give him a game. Throw him in. You know, give him some minutes. Let's see what he can do. Now, Jerry, I also don't know how to work Instagram, I've got to admit. But I'm definitely going to be doing it as of tomorrow. We've also got Uncle Nobby Steamboat. Any opportunity to bring your avatar and your name up. Coon has stepped up. Hopefully keeps getting better. I, for one, slated him. Loads of people did. That's
AJ plays better with him on the wing as well, doesn't he?
He does. He absolutely does. And what I like about Coon, and I think we'll see more of this, he's not scared to hit that byline. I think in his first few games, turning back, Jerry, kicking the ball back, and you thought to yourself, oh, here's another one. Here's another one who doesn't like hitting the byline. But it would appear that it was down to sharpness and fitness that prevented him from doing it, and he's doing it now, which is great to see. Johnny Ryan, I hope you are wrong. I hope you are wrong, but I fear that you may be right. Talking to Jinky Wingers, Paddy McCourt, the Derry Pelly, he's coming to Gracie's. It's Thursday, it's the 4th of April. On the last check, although I've not checked this morning, 34 tickets available. A documentary team will be in the building, talking to you in the audience, filming the gig, capturing the atmosphere of Celtic fans coming together in the week of a derby. Come along. The ticket link is underneath this video. But we are running a competition, of course. If you want to win two VIP tickets to come along, meet all the Axom team, meet Paddy McCourt, get stuff signed, get your photograph taken, all that stuff, and maybe even appear in a German documentary. All you need to do is email me at pauljohndykes@gmail.com. Who was your cult icon and why? Doesn't have to be Paddy, could be Anton Rogan, could be Rudy Vatter. Let us know who it is. Tell me the reason why. You'll be put in a draw, and I will be emailing you at the end of this week to let you know if you've been successful in your endeavours. Congratulations again to Jerry and Megan. I think this will be our first Axon baby when she arrives. I think so, yes. Looking forward to that. Brilliant. It's been a pleasure. 1,400 plus strong on a Monday afternoon. We will welcome Asim and Kevin Graham at some point later on in the week. Thanks, everybody, for getting involved. Let us know your thoughts on all the topics that we've discussed today, and join us again tonight at 6 o'clock for a wander around paradise. All that's left for me to say, Jerry Taylor, thank you for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Thank you.
Podcast Network.